Jonathan Kraft. Jonathan, it's great to see you again. It's always good to be in the postseason. It's what you live for. What do you think about this weather situation here?
I can't remember, and I even said this. You've been doing a 10, I'm at 9 now. I don't remember back-to-back home games needing the arc to get to the building.
It's like 50 degrees.
Right.
I think it's even warmer.
It's
I remember that first AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh was a day in January that was like 60 degrees. It had 60 degrees. And that was an afternoon game. I'm glad it's windy tonight. I think the wind and I don't think rain really affects these guys unless it's just pouring. And I think snow affects footing, but it doesn't really affect the passing game. I think that wind is the biggest factor. And if you're not used to playing in this building, I hear Steven and Tom talk about it a lot, that the wind can really make a difference. So let's all just hope it's really windy and it stays warm so that people are comfortable, but the wind affects the passing game.
Well, I know that your team has proven to be resilient this year, and regardless of the conditions, you know, there have been different times where they've gone out and played well, but they've had their hiccups. But this team has never had, and I'll just put it the easiest way I can, they haven't had the turd game this year. There's been a level of consistency with a lot of wins thrown in there, but this group is different than some of the others from that way. There really hasn't been massive peaks and valleys with this group, but nothing has really gotten them down over the course of the year.
I tell you, I think Bill prides himself on having a team that never gets too high or too low, that it's a marathon. That sounds like a cliche, but it's true. And you come to work each day, you learn what you're supposed to do, you take care of your body, you don't get too emotionally crazed one way or the other, you don't worry about things you can't control, and you focus on doing your job. And he is brilliant at it. And I think the thing about this season, even with our four losses, to your point, I mean, we're within a score in each of those games, right? A couple of games at 3, one at 4, one at 6 or 7, mm-hmm. I think. And that's in a year where almost a third of our salary cap is tied up on injured reserve or in injury settlements. I'm not counting Hernandez in there. I mean, just players like Wilfork and Mayo and Kelly and guys we've done injury settlements with. And I don't believe that a team that has had that percentage of their cap on IR or tied up in injury settlements has come anywhere close to this type of record. And I think it's a testament to Bill and to Tom and guys like Logan and even guys like Gerard and Vince who've stayed around the building and they've kept the guys focused, and it's been nice. But we got to go out and win tonight. I mean, we earned the right to have our week off and try to get a little healthy, but we got to go out and win tonight, or it's just nice.
It's been the most challenging year. I'm going to say, you know, the Parcells thing, when that went down, that was obviously something you want to forget about, but I would have to say, in your ownership, on the field, it's been the most challenging year. Because there were years when you started out, you didn't have great seasons. But
right.
From getting it done on the field, I mean, the number of hits this organization took, it's been the most challenging years, no doubt.
It's definitely been a very challenging year, but I'll come back again. You start the season the way it started in the off season with Aaron, and you work yourself through some of the things we just talked about. And again, I think it comes back to Bill and the coaching staff and then the veteran leadership on the team. And having guys like Vince and Gerard in particular stick around here, be a part of the team, be a mental part of the team. They're well-liked by their fellow teammates. It's all worked.
Okay. Now, we know, you've told the story before, that you had your first sip of Belichick Kool-Aid when you were talking one day. You were working out.
Oh, you remember.
Buffalo.
God.
Yeah, you were working out. It was Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, and you were working out in the gym with Bill. And it was before a road game, and he was an assistant, and he talked about the cap. And you said, "Wow, this guy gets it."
It was a road game. I'm trying to remember the city.
I thought it was Buffalo,
but it wasn't 7. It might have been Buffalo. It wasn't 7. It might have been more like 5:30 or 6. And I want to be clear: we weren't working out together. We both ended up in the gym at the same. We weren't spotting for each other. we're not lifting big heavy weights. But we were both there, and then we ended up just sitting and having a conversation about the cap. And it was early. This would have been the 96 season. And if you remember, in 96, it was still the old school football guys running most of the programs.
Right.
And the cap was growing big enough that nobody really had to be accountable for it. But we kept talking internally on the business side that we needed guys on the football side who appreciated and understood that cap space, cap dollars were scarce commodities, and each one had to be thought about and treated with care and a long-term strategy. And sitting with Bill that morning and talking about it, for me, I didn't go out to practice ever in those days. Robert would go out to practice. He got it at practice. He knew it before me. But sitting there that morning with Bill, it just hit me. He was off the charts intellectually in that area, and obviously with the X's and O's, he gets it. And look, he's won 163 regular season games since 2000. The median in the NFL is 112. And that's where the better teams get pulled back with the harder schedule and the lower draft selections. And I think the team next closest to him is like at 145 or something. So he's won a full season more games than the next closest team, and the median is 112.
But my question is, for you who was a fan, and you were on a roll. You were killing it. That's good. But when you grew up as a fan and you went up and down, I mean, you're emotional like the rest of us. When did you buy into the Belichick way of taking one day at a time, taking one week at a time, and not freak out, even when you were an owner? Because you can't tell me, like, as soon as you know that you are always this calm.
It's a good question. I think once you're lucky enough to win a couple times, you still really want to win, but that emotional urgency of is that ever going to happen isn't there. And then you watch what Bill's able to do, and you know you're as well prepared as you can be, and the things that are left to chance are taken care of. So I think there's a calm that comes with that, and it's going to be the way it's going to be. We believe and are completely confident, and we are each week, but going into the game tonight, the team's as well prepared as they can be. And it probably happened around, I don't know, 03, 04, 05 in that time frame.
I know we can have the Brady Luck thing, but I want to get to the officiating because it was a hot topic this week, as you can imagine. It has been for a while. And I know there was some stuff last week that was missed. There was some stuff last week that created some controversy. You know, I'm just curious from your end, how concerned are you about the perception, right or wrong, of the officiating in your league?
I think this year, for the first time, and the week 17, the way the Kansas City-San Diego game ended, and there were a lot of other things throughout the year, this game, the rules get tweaked each offseason so that the guys who manage the on-field competition feel like we're doing what's right for the competitive equality and to make the game safe and to make the game interesting. And I think at this point, the rules have gotten so complicated, these players are so fast and so strong, that no matter how good you are as an official, it's impossible to be perfect. And so I think we need to continue to work on ways to take some of these elements of chance out of it. The officials are doing their best. The one great thing is you never hear anybody question the integrity of the game or the motivation of the officials. They know. You watch on people sitting at home on a couch watching 18 angles in high def in super slow-mo. Imagine seeing that real time from one angle and having to make a call. It's amazing how well they get it right. But when you've got calls like the one in the San Diego game with how the guys were lined up on a field goal, or you've got that pushing from the second level in our Jets game, and these rules are changing each season, we have to figure out a way, and technology will play a part in it, I'm sure, and we will as a league figure out a way to help the officials get more perfect, and we won't stop until they are perfect.
Well, I know that full time is on the docket, as we know. Has there been any discussion of adding an official to each crew because you have so many big bodies flying around out there, and the fact that the game has become more spread out than it used to be? I think before the advent of shotguns, spread them out, all that, seven officials were able to do the job, but now you've got five defensive backs and at times four wide receivers running down the field. I'm just wondering if there needs to be another set of eyes and if that has ever come up.
I think a lot of suggestions have come up. I don't sit in the competition committee meeting, so that one very well might have. I know that everything is going to be considered, so that's probably likely to be considered. Different ways of using technology. We talked about centralizing replay. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill's floated the idea of everything being challengeable so that egregious calls, which today aren't challengable, can be overturned. I'm sure that over the next 24 months, maybe 36 months, you're going to see changes, tweaks happen to the system to try to get it closer to perfection.
Your thoughts on reseeding and expansion?
Reseeding, I think winning your division, you deserve to host a home playoff game. If you change that dynamic, all of the historical rules and the things that have happened up to now, it sort of like messes with history. It doesn't feel right. I think you win your division, you and your fans deserve a home game. And look, the better team, look what happened last week in the NFL. The better teams won.
Right.
But the home teams were rewarded with that home game for them and their fans. I think that makes sense. But I'm sure we're going to talk about it because there are some people that want to talk about it. On the expansion of the playoffs, I think there's a lot of talk in the league that it should happen.
I've argued that from a business end, it's inevitable.
But it's been that way for a long time. I think the balance is keeping more cities involved those last 2-3 weeks of the season, like the way this season ended. Imagine any more cities being involved and any more interesting scenarios with seeding and who's getting in, playing out. You know, so that helps grow the business of football. But if you perennially get 7-9 and 8-8 teams in the playoffs, I don't know. Does that cheapen it? And I think that's what we're going to look at and talk about, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, here's the bottom line, is that you've already accomplished it to me at the end of the season, and for that matter, people care about the National Football League on a national scale. It's not like baseball and basketball and hockey, where if my team's out, I'm done watching. I mean, people, there are Bengals fans that sat, and they're going to watch all the games this weekend.
Right.
You know, it's not like the other sports.
Today, without seeing the data and the arguments, I fall on the side of not expanding.
Right.
But we're going to talk about it, and we'll see what happens with it.
All right, good luck.
Hey,
today.
I got to say one thing. Yeah. A young man passed away yesterday. We're going to have a moment of silence here. But Sam Burns is a young man who lived in Foxborough who suffered with a rare disease called progeria. An incredibly brave young man who had a disease where your body ages much faster. He was a 17-year-old who had the body of an 80-something-year-old. He spoke to our team before the Atlanta game. He was a huge inspiration. This young man lived every day of his life knowing that he was going to have a very short life, no regrets, spread the word about his affliction, tried to raise funds for it, but also went to high school, did the things that kids did, and embraced life, even though he wasn't blessed with a long one. And the Kraft family are going to miss him greatly. He's a special young guy. Sorry.
Do not apologize. Well said, Jonathan. Thank you very much. Jonathan Kraft, Inside the Owner's Box. More after this on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.